Hey y'all. My name is Cheryl and I'm an addict. So I looked up workshop and it said the workshop is an interactive process where people come together and speak about a particular subject. So if you're in this workshop, it's interactive. It's not just me speaking to you. It's going to be you nodding at me and saying, go on, share, and all that stuff that I need to hear to let me know that I'm on the right track. Is that a deal? So I'm here to talk about the second step. You know, without before I even can get into the second step, you almost have to like touch on the first step just a little bit, right? So it says in our literature that the first step leaves a vacuum in our life. That the second step comes along right after that, and it says that we need this feeling of hope that we can just even recover. Because I remember when I first did my very first step with my sponsor, I was almost to the point of almost relieved to know that I didn't suffer from a moral deficiency. That it was something wrong with me, but that there was some hope, that there was a process that I can get into. And once I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, and it was so many of you, it was so many of you that were telling me that you can recover too. But I still didn't really believe y'all. I'm here to share my clean date. It's 4/27/92. And for that, I'm truly grateful. And I'm from the Central Texas area. So I might say something that you guys, I'm going to try to use some words like y'all use, but I might say y'all, you know, but y'all just go on with it. Y'all have heard it before. So, there's so many things that I can go. There's so many ways that I can go with the second step. But I want to go this way with the second step. Because when I got here, I had a whole lot of whacked out ideas about life and about love. I grew up in a house where my dad beat my mom for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He was an alcoholic. He was a long-haul truck driver. I loved my dad. I was a daddy's girl. But I had this kind of love-hate relationship with my dad, but I would not dare tell anybody. My dad was a breadwinner, and when he was home, he gave me the love that I thought I needed and I thought that I deserved. But one of the things that I know about my dad is that, and the things that I know about me is that the whole time that I was growing up, I expected a dollar from my dad when he only had 50 cents. He didn't have 50 cents tucked away anywhere. That's all he had. He was an alcoholic. That's all he had. But I wanted a dollar. I was convinced that he had more. So I grew up believing that any man that I got in a relationship with was going to have more, but they weren't going to give it to me. So I'm gonna prove something to y'all, because I'm not by myself. There's some people in here, and I grew up listening to a lot of music. Music morphed and shaped the way that I loved and the way that I lived. And I grew up in the era where Chaka Khan and Gladys Knight and a lot of other women, but those are some sick women. Y'all don't believe me? Some of y'all are saying, yeah, but some of y'all are like, don't be talking about my girl. Look now, we're supposed to be talking about the second step. I don't know where you're going with this. So I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this. Okay, so the songs that I listen to, I'm going to go one with Gladys Knight. I want you to listen to what she said in one of her songs. She said, he's leaving on that midnight train to Georgia. At the end, she said, I'd rather live in his world than live without him in mine. Y'all don't think there's something wrong with that? She said, he's leaving on the midnight train to Georgia. She said he got a one-way ticket back to the life he once knew. Oh, yes, he did. He said he would. Then she said, but I'm going. I got to go. I got to go. Because I'd rather live in his world. And I don't even know what his world is about. But in the beginning, it said he pawned all his hope. So y'all getting here? Because I see some laughs and I see some like, okay. All right. I can get with that. Those are the things that I listened to, and I started to think about, you know, that's what it's supposed to be like, you know, because that's kind of where I lived with my mom that was allowing my father to beat her for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But she'd rather live in his world than live without him in her own. Not only was I listening to it on the radio, but I was looking at it in my own home. And then let's move on down the road to your girl, to my girl. She my girl. She's still my girl. She's sick. We already know now that she really sick. She really one of us. And maybe she'll get to a place where I'll tell you later that I got to, and some of us have got to, because we get on the other side of some things if we stay here long enough. But Chaka Khan says, she said, I will love you anyway, even if you cannot stay. I think you are the one for me. This is where you gotta be. I just wanna satisfy you, but you're not mine and I can't deny you. Don't you hear me talking, baby? Love me now or I'll go crazy. Whoa, whoa. What? What? This interactive, what she say? She say, don't you know you mine? This baby said, I will love you anyway. Even if you cannot stay. I know that you're the one for me. This is where you ought to be. It might not be where you are, but this is where you ought to be. I just want to satisfy you. You're not mine. Did y'all hear that? You're not mine, and I can't deny you. Don't you hear me talking to you, baby? Love me now, or I'm gonna go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs crazy. Those are the things. Well, let me do one more. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? Because Jennifer Holliday made this famous way back in the day, and then we had Jennifer Hudson come along, and she had to do it again, and then as soon as we hear it, we say, "Oh, that's my song." Oh, what song y'all think I'm talking about? This baby said. I can't even say what she said. She said, you're going to love me. I don't care what it is that you got to do. I'm staying. And you. And you're going to love me. So I'm telling you the words, the messages that I got growing up, because I looked up to Jennifer Hudson, Jennifer Holliday, and I looked up to these women who were like my role models, because you know we get role models. I got role models today. You know, my role models today is one of them is Beyonce. Bills, 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 you know. She came alongside to pay my own bills. I like all that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about when I was growing up. And I believe that the childhood is a part of our life that we spend the rest of our life trying to overcome. So it is true for me that I've spent a lot of time trying to overcome some of those messages that I just gave to you or that I just reminded you of. So I came to Narcotics Anonymous with a drug problem. Thank God for my drug problem, because I wouldn't have known that there's a whole bunch of other problems. That my using was just a symptom. So I came in here looking for someone to fill that God-shaped hole that was on the inside of me. And I'm talking about, I looked, and it says that we thought we had found something different when we found it in drugs. But it don't stop when we get here. The search don't stop. In fact, for me, the search got even rigorous. Because once I put the dope down, I was still looking for something. That something that could change the way that I felt. That something that could save me. That something that could take me away from whatever it was that was going on in my life. And because I'm not a bad looking girl, I know I'm not. I got a mirror. And they says a poor dog that won't wag its own tail. I'll be 56 years old this year. When I got here, I was 30. I weighed probably a buck 19. But you could not tell me I wasn't the finest thing in the room. I was the coffee pot girl. I was whatever it is that we talk about when we talk about she need to sit down somewhere. She thinks she did. I was her. And I didn't care what y'all thought, because I came back with something. I had something. Everything that y'all said, I had something to come back with that made me all right. I had a plausible but untrue reason for my behavior. They just jealous. They came up in here and ate up all their feelings with this food. And now they just jealous because I'm fine. And they just want me to sit down so their men can't see me. So I got a sponsor. And I got a sponsor. My sponsor is from this area. I told you I live in Texas, but my sponsor is from this area. And up until just a few months ago, I changed sponsors because I just had a total knee replacement surgery. Not like just 6 weeks ago. And y'all, look. God is a good God. I was telling Carol, I said, I don't know if I'm going to make it because I'm having knee surgery and God is good. I'm here. I got a sponsor that had something that I wanted, because she shared behind the podium. She said, you know, I'm insecure. I got a husband who's in the fellowship and I'm insecure. He's handsome, and the women are all over him. And I know some of them hugs aren't any hugs. She said this one thing. She said, I take his underwear out sometimes when he comes back from speaking, and I smell him. And I was sitting in the back, and I was listening to everything she shared. And when she got done sharing, I watched her. Everywhere she moved, I moved. And she finally just turned around. She said, baby, do you need to talk to me? I said, yeah, I need to talk to you. She said, okay, let's find a place to go sit. I said, okay. She said, what's going on?
I said, absent the smell in the drawers, I've done everything that you say you've done. I feel everything you say you feel. Would you be my sponsor? She was my sponsor for 24 years. 22 years. And she taught me how to get out of those things that I told you about, because in the second step it says that insanity is repeating the same mistakes. See, we say things that, you know, we parrot each other, but we say stuff that's not really true, because repeating the same thing is not insanity. Because I can repeat the same thing. I do the same thing every day, and it's good for me. I get up and go to work and go to work and stay on the people's job and go home and maybe make a meeting, go to the house, take a shower, and go to bed. That ain't insanity. Insanity is repeating the same mistakes, expecting different results. And I'm going to go on even further and tell you the insanity that I was in. I knew what the results were going to be. But I said, when the pain comes, I'll be able to handle it. So I got me a recovery dude. Sure did. Sure did got me a recovery dude. We was like Barbie and Ken of Narcotics Anonymous. We argue all the way to the meeting. As soon as we get to the meeting, hey, sweetie. Keep coming back. Love you. Get back in the car and I'll argue all the way back home. That went on for 9 years. We got divorced. And we stayed apart for 9 years. And for 9 years, those records started to play again. In our literature, it says we can resort back to our sickest behavior in a short period of time. Yeah, Shaka Khan said he ain't mine. I ain't care. He was a man. He had a penis and a pulse. I don't care if y'all judge me. I'm going back to Texas. Come on now. I needed a warm body next to me. I was hurting. And our literature says that we can suffer the withdrawals we can suffer the pain of withdrawals or keep on using. So I kept on using. Using by definition means to exploit selfishly.
You better go, girl. That's go.
So I ain't even talking about dope. I'm talking about behaviors. Repeating the same behaviors. Yes. Yes. Expecting different results. So I went through that whole thing, and I saw him coming and meeting with people, and I got mad at the people. After a while, I got mad at everybody, and I ran away from my home group. And I sold my house. I tried to wait till our daughter finished high school, and I sold my house, and I made a geographical change and got involved with another guy. But all the time, I was still in love with my recovery dude. I was loving that man. Because let me tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something. The recovery dude had some other stuff going on, but he didn't beat me. See, I didn't think you loved me unless you called me bitches and hoes and was at my house pulling my phone off the wall and kicking down doors and stalking and being a walkie-stalkie. I didn't know. So he wasn't doing that kind of stuff. I didn't think he loved me. Y'all see how retarded that is? Mm. And how retarded that even sound? That even sound retarded to me just now. So we got divorced. And we went on about our business, like I said. But I start working, doing some work. And this is one of the things that I hear in Narcotics Anonymous. You know the thing that, and I think it's in our first or second step, it's in our literature somewhere, it says, what is that thing that you hear in the room that you really don't believe? This is something that I don't believe that I hear all the time. I'm working on myself. That's the problem, working on the problem, sound like. So I started going to church. I started going to more meetings. I can say church if I can say hoes and bitches, right? So anyway, I started going to more meetings. I started calling my sponsor more. I started getting involved with more women that was in the program that had something that I wanted. And they saw me suffering. In silence, because you can see your man you love come in with, not my man anymore, but in my heart he was always my man. And so I see him come in a meeting and in something, I would throw up sometime. I'm telling you, I would lose my food in the parking lot when I would see his car, his truck. Today, that man is my recovery dude, the same recovery dude. We're back together after 9 years. I left. That may sound crazy. Who's really crazy? Because I just told you the reason I left. I just told you, I said, he don't love me because he's not beating me. He's not calling me bitches and hoes. He's not being a walkie-stalkie. He must don't love me. Coming to believe takes, it's a process. Coming to believe is a process that sometimes you have to believe that maybe he's not the problem. Maybe it's you. Because I'm the common denominator in every relationship I'm in. And so I'm glad y'all said something. Somebody said, that's crazy. Because I've had people in my home group say, I can't believe. Let me see if I can say it like they say it. I'm kind of animated. I can't believe they back together, all that stuff that they went through, all that court stuff that they went through, and all the stuff that she did to him, and all the stuff he did to her. I can't believe that they back together, and now they all on Facebook, all posting up their pictures, and all, they want everybody to know that they back together. We know that they back together. We knew that they still loved each other. We knew. Well, if you knew, why are you surprised that we back together? Oh. Who's really insane? Because in 9 years, a lot of things can happen. In 9 years, a lot of things did happen. The spirit of forgiveness is a major thing. If you haven't gotten with, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about my daddy. The first man. My daddy. The first man that I was mad at. Where's my 50 cents? Where's my 50 cents? My dad died in February of last year. And before he died, I started to go see him because it was suggested. And y'all know what a suggestion is, right? A subtle command. Go see your father every time you can in the nursing home. Tell him you love him. Tell him you forgive him. Tell him you know he did the best he could with what he had. Rub his bald head. Massage his arthritis. arthritic hands. Take him whatever he wants. Call him and ask him what he needs. When I would call my dad and ask him what he needed, he would say, I just want you. Mm-hmm. And I would be standing behind him most of the time. On my phone. So if you're in here, and if you heard anything I said, I remember, and I'm just going to share this, and I'm going to sit down. We had a house that in Texas that was that had mold, and it needed mold remediation. I'm talking about restoration, restoring a house. So when the people came to restore the house to find out what was going on, because sometimes you gotta tear down what's built. What you've built up, maybe, or what was already standing when you got there, to find out what is the nature, what's the problem, what is wrong with this thing that's going on? What's causing the mold? So when the mold remediation people came, they said, we're going to have to restore your house, ma'am. We're going to have to tear down this wall, this wall, this wall, this wall, this wall, this wall, this wall. I said, well, that means I'm going to have a brand new house. He said, but it'll be restored when we get done. He said, but what is causing it is a small line underneath the house that is broken, that is causing water to leak into the house, that's causing mold, black mold, to grow. So if you're in here and you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get restored back to some sanity, it may be something very, very small. If you look up insanity in the dictionary, it says deranged lunatic. That's what it says. And that might be a big, big word for somebody. And it was a big word for me. But when I got to the point where I realized in my first step, the things that I wrote down, the things that I did, I realized that I was deranged. So if you're in here and you're listening to and you've heard the things that I've said, it may be something very small that can restore you to some soundness of the mind. It says we come to believe. We come to a point of believing. And most of the time we come to a point of believing because somebody has pointed it out to us, or we recognize it ourselves, or God put it on us. I'm happy to be back with my recovery man. And listen to this, I'm loving on him like I've never loved on him before. The things that I used to do, I don't do anymore. When he used to say, what movie you want to go to? Whatever movie you want to go to. What you want to go eat? Wherever you want to go eat. I want to go see Hidden Figures. I want to go eat at Papa Do's. Why don't you want to do that anymore? You used to love to do. No, I didn't. I did it because I was trying to make you happy. I ain't never liked doing that. And I don't want to do that no more. That's being restored to sanity. Soundness of the mind. Thank you for allowing me to share.